I'm in the process of it, but it'll be a little bit yet because of the bowl preparation.
If you feel, what factors do you maybe need to evaluate about yourself in terms of whether you come back and coach next?
Well, the same things that I've always talked about. You know, I've had some dialogue. I need to have more dialogue with my family. I've had dialogue with our administration, and I need a little bit more dialogue with them. And I, just as far as the people in our program, players, etc. You know, I have to assess, which I haven't done. Just exactly, the impact, positive, negatively that I've had, with them. So same things that I've always said. It's just about being more thorough with it, because it's a, for me, it's a big decision.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati in studio. Thank you very much for joining us. Let's talk some college football with Gary Barnett, our college football insider. Coach, good morning. How are you?
Doing really well here in Arizona. Stephen, nice and warm. So how you guys doing?
Not nice and warm, but still doing well in Kansas City. And so, but here's the deal. We won't talk to you until after Kansas State and Missouri have played in their bowl games next week. So we actually get to talk about some bowl games and get some previews and predictions for you. So I'm fired up about that. But first, you heard Jake, our fine producer, play a clip from Bill Snyder speaking with the media, talking about a decision that's still to be made. When you hear that, does that put any doubt in your mind whether or not Bill Snyder is going to be back next year?
Well, I think it probably does. It certainly makes you think he's at least it's on the table. And one of the things that I think Bill has always been about has been about his family and been about his players. And I'm sure that he wants, and the university. You know, he has a great love for the university, so. It's a complicated decision, and one of the things as a coach is you'd always like to be able to pick your successor, much like Bob Stoops was able to do, but the timing of Bob Stoops leaving college football when he did enabled him, that timing alone enabled him to be able to pick his, the guy that takes over for him. And I think Bill, all that is being considered in Bill's decision. I'm sure one of the things he realizes and everybody else realizes, too, is on the recruiting trails this year, Bill Snyder cannot sit in someone's home and say, I'm going to be here for you for 4 years or 5 years or whatever it is. That's very, very unlikely that's going to occur. And so the decision then for young men who choose Kansas State comes down to about the university and about the coaches that hopefully are going to be there. Bill's always going to take all that into consideration. He's not going to jump at any decisions, but it does, after hearing him in that interview, does make me think that the decision's on the table and something, one way or the other is going to be decided. But there's more in that voice to me about making a move and a change than there is about staying. But, that's just one guy listening to a 20-second clip this morning.
Because the interesting thing about this is, Bill Snyder left coaching once and then came back. And so for you, I'd like to ask you, when you leave coaching, how hard is it? How hard is it to get it out of your system and not want to go back?
Well, you don't get it out of your system. It's, as I've described it to others, it's like herpes. Once you have them, you always have them. You always have it. And you don't ever get it out. I'm talking about herpes on your lips.
Right. Of course you do.
Anyway, you never get it out of your system. It's a virus. It stays there. And you can treat it, but but not very successfully. It always, especially around November, it's, you know, it just, it's an annual resurgence of the virus.
It flares up.
You never get it out. You never do.
So, I mean, did broadcasting help with that at all?
Yeah, it's like a Breva, you know, you put it on there and soothes the pain, but, you know, it doesn't take it away. It's going to come back. So, I mean, I'm, what am I, 71? It was back this November. It doesn't come back as seriously as it used to, but it comes back. Absolutely. You never get it out of your system. And fortunately, I've been able to, because of broadcasting and because I was able to, at least the first 10 years, get to see the best games and the best players and the best venues around the country. And then, fortunately, the last 2 years, being back associated with the University of Colorado, and, you know, it's been able to help me a lot. It's been tremendous. I appreciate Rick George, AD, and Mike McIntyre doing that because it really does fill that void a lot for me.
What do you miss most about coaching?
The players. I miss the players. I miss the. I miss all the tough decisions, and I really miss the stress. I miss the excitement of it. I miss being in a room trying to figure out a way to beat Mac Brown or Bob Stoops or Gary Pinkel, finding a plan and then seeing if we can execute it. And I love the recruiting piece of it. There wasn't any part of it I didn't like. Other than all the recruiting gurus telling me if I was right or wrong. So every other aspect of it I absolutely loved. It was just it became my life and really my family's life as well.
Do you think you would have liked this early signing period?
Depends on where I was. I don't think this year is quite it's not the way it's going to be from this point on. So it's a little bit of an aberration because after this year, you're going to be able to recruit and visit young men during the summer. So you take a place like Colorado in the summer or Northwestern in the summer, that rule is going to enhance their recruiting tremendously. It's going to hurt places like Arizona State. It's going to hurt places like anywhere that is in the South that has had an advantage in the winter months of having kids visit, it's not going to help them. I'm not saying it's going to hurt them, but it is going to enhance the recruiting of the teams in the North, I think. So I think it would depend on where I was. If you're in a place that your recruiting base is nearby and it's vast, I think it helps you a lot. If you're in a place that's got to go all over the country to recruit, I don't think it helps you that much. So, but that's sitting a little bit from afar. And so I think after next year, that's going to be something that is more easily assessed.
All right, Coach, let's talk about this K-State bowl game. It's right in your backyard, the Cactus Bowl in Phoenix, Arizona. And K-State's taking on a team that you are pretty familiar with because they're in your conference there, UCLA. By the way, we'll have that game on Sports Radio 810 WHB the day after Christmas at 8 o'clock Central Time. There's the big storyline, I feel like, for most people is whether or not Josh Rosen's going to play in this game. I saw that interim coach Jed Fish said that he thinks he's coming back from a bit of an injury, but he's going to practice. They're going to assess it. Do you think he will play? Do you think he should play, considering what he might have on the line as a draft pick?
I think that since that ceiling's been broken through last year with McCaffrey and everybody else and the other four or five guys that didn't play, I don't think he should play. I don't think this bowl game is a big enough notch for him to put at risk being chosen the number one pick in the draft. If he's thinking about coming out, if he's pretty sure he's coming out, I would not play in this game. And if I was his coach or his parents, that's how I would recommend it. If he is coming back and he's pretty sure he's coming back, then I would do everything I could to get ready to play with my teammates. And that's how I would encourage him. But Josh has had a series of injuries. It cost him more than half of last year an injury. He has been banged up. And so that's the way I would sit on that in that situation. And really, a year ago, they had a decent quarterback that could come in and replace him. Not sure whether or not they could replace him and be as close to as good as they can be. That's a really talented team. If you guys were going to be there in person and walk down on the field, there isn't a better looking football team, you know, than UCLA. And they have their warts, but that's a good looking and a talented football team. But Josh Rosen is by far the most talented player, and I think at this point in time, if you look at all the stuff with Kuiper and McShay, you see that they probably have Rosen picked the number one guy to go. And if that's true, which I have no reason to think it isn't, I don't know why he would play in this game. I think if this were a major bowl game, if this were a New Year's Day game, if this were a playoff game, or even one of the major bowls, I think he would consider it more heavily. But not sure that it really is in his best interest to do that.
So if he doesn't play, then K-State should win the game.
Well, who knows? They got to play the game. But,
right.
You know, K-State's just coming down with a toughness and a mentality, I think, and with momentum at this point in time to win the game. It's going to be a lot harder to win it if Josh Rosen plays. So no question about it. But it certainly gives K-State a big advantage, I think, if Rosen doesn't play.
All right, Coach, we touched on this last week, but now there's more speculation and more rumor that the Jed Fish, who is the interim coach for UCLA and their offensive coordinator, that he is going to end up being the new offensive coordinator for Missouri after these bowl games are done. He was spotted at a Mizzou practice last week, and there's a couple of people that have reported sources that he's going to be the guy. Nothing that's been able to be confirmed, but then his Wikipedia page has him as Mizzou's offensive coordinator, and how could that possibly be wrong? But but it seems like this is a real possibility now. And I asked you a little bit about this, but if this and we're going to see him as the interim head coach on Tuesday night for the game. And so if this does happen, this would be a really nice hire for Barry Odom, right?
It's a home run if he gets it done. And if you're Jed Fish and you're the offensive coordinator, I mean, really, even if you're just thinking, okay, I'm going to go someplace for a year, I mean, what better place would there be to go nationally than a place with a quarterback like Drew Lock, the receivers that he's got coming back, the productivity that offense has had this year? So, you know, to me, it's a win-win deal for both schools, for both. Even if Jed Fish comes in and stays for a year, it's a win-win. So if he's been at practice and he's been spotted and Wikipedia has him down there, I'd say there's a real good chance that it's going to happen. And I think it'll help him. It'll help Missouri in recruiting. It's going to help Drew Lock. It's probably a great transition from Josh to Jed. So it's, you know, it's a win-win from my opinion.
All right, Coach. So Tuesday night, it'll be Kansas State and UCLA in the Cactus Bowl. Then Wednesday night, it's going to be the Texas Bowl between Texas and Missouri. And so what are you expecting from this bowl game?
Well, you know, I looked at the lines this morning, and I had it not available for some reason. And I don't know what's going on. You guys may know more than I do about what's going on there. But I think it's got the matchup of a great football game, and it's going to be the really obvious how good is the Texas defense against a really good Missouri offense, and how can Missouri's defense hold up against an offense that is very effective at running the football, and, you know, it's made some mistakes and misfired, but it's been in a lot of big games, and that's also a very talented offensive team that just hasn't gelled because the quarterback hasn't really They don't have a quarterback like Drew Locke, let's put it that way. So, you know, I think it's a great matchup. I think it's just, it's huge for Missouri. It's a great opportunity to get that kind of a marquee team. Maybe not a marquee team that's played that well this year, but a team that's as high profile as Texas. I think it's just a tremendous opportunity for Missouri.
And it seems like there's a few Texas players that are going to sit out and not play in the bowl game. Everyone's playing for Missouri. And you know as well as anyone, many times in these bowl games, it's about who wants to be there, who's excited to be there, what's it mean to the program. And Missouri was begging for this matchup against Texas. And from some of the things I heard, Texas maybe wasn't wanting to play Missouri, and they had no say in it, and here it is. Missouri wants to be there, and from being 1-5 to this game, I mean, they probably walked to Houston if they had to play in this game.
No question. The 1-2 factor is definitely on Missouri's side, and Texas, like you said, is playing without a couple of guys, big tackle that is a, you know, first-round draft choice, and you know, I think there's two other players that aren't going to play as well. So, yeah, there's no question that the 1-2 factor becomes huge in games like this, and that definitely goes to Missouri's side. So, great opportunity for Missouri. Couldn't be better. I mean, you're going to a December 27th bowl game. You know, just the junkies are going to watch, the football junkies are going to watch that game, and all of Missouri and some of the Texas fans are, but it's such a huge, you know, if this were, you could have caught Louisiana Lafayette at Monroe or somebody, but you get Texas, major program, major opportunity, so it couldn't be any better.
Well, and I mean, Texas has taken some shots at Missouri ever since they had their little fallout and left the conference. You know, who was it, DeLoss Dodds or somebody at Texas that said, our worst year at Texas is
better than Missouri's best year.
Yeah, right. that type of thing. They're going to use all that stuff this week, don't you think?
only if someone from Missouri
right. Would
remember that. You know, that's the reason that the state animal's a mule. I mean, you don't forget those sort of things.
Oh,
right?
No.
I mean, it's like the fifth down. You guys are still blaming me for the fifth down.
Well.
You know, you just can't get it out of your mind. So, you know, that ain't going to play. That factor isn't going to play. Those guys don't even know who DeLoss Dodds are, those players. So that won't be an issue. It'd be more of an issue to us watching a game.
And I'm with you. I think it's going to be a fun matchup. So you think, I know it's hard to predict these bowl games, but you think Missouri wins?
I do think Missouri wins. Yeah, I do. I mean, they're slightly favored, or they were slightly favored going in, I think, but before they pulled the lines. But, no, I do think Missouri wins. I think, and it is just such a great opportunity to showcase for recruiting, because there's still recruiting left now. So, you know, I think it's a great opportunity. I think they win the game. The 1-2 factor is too big, and those receivers and Drew Locke are really dynamite.
You were mentioning Josh Rosen, and maybe he has a chance to go number one overall. When you've watched college football this year, and I know that you've done the Colorado games and you focus a lot on the Pac-12, but is there a guy that you've seen this year that you think he's can't miss, or maybe your favorite pro prospect that's in college that might be in this draft?
Well, I think Sam Darnold is. I would take Darnold first. I just think he's bigger, stronger, more durable, a bigger arm than Josh Rosen. But Josh Rosen is really good, and he's been in a pro offense, and he's really a smart player. You know, Darnold's the guy that I see that is just a can't miss guy after that. And, so there's plenty of guys on defense. I think the safety at Alabama, Micah Fitzpatrick, man, is he a player? There's a number of guys that are can't miss, but the high profile positions that I think are the quarterback spot, I think Sam Darnold's the guy.
Well, how would you handle Baker Mayfield if you're an NFL GM?
Well, you know, I think I think he's going to be a sleeper. I think he's one of those guys that if he's available in a certain spot, there's going to be four or five teams go after him. Just because he's a playmaker, and it's hard to pass up playmakers. And you know, when you watch him on film, there's guys that seem to have a lot of ability, but they're not as big a playmakers. And the playmaking part of it seems to translate to the next level a lot. And so I think he's one of those guys at a position that's the hardest position to find, that makes plays, that seems to have the it factor as far as leadership goes. Now, you don't want him to be the mayor of your community, but you might want him to be the quarterback on your football team.
So I'm curious what you think about what Lane Kiffin has done at Florida Atlantic. They finished the year 11-3. They beat Akron 50-3 in their bowl game. Do you think he's going to be there for a while at Florida Atlantic? And if so, do you think he's going to actually turn that into a consistent, you know, winning program?
Well, you know, this is one of those things that I have to swallow my pride a little bit in, because Lane did a great job this year. And, you know, I've not been a proponent or a fan of Lane Kiffin's, probably won't continue to be, but I certainly respect and admire the job that he did. Do I think he's going to be there? Probably not. You know, a guy that goes to Tennessee for a year and leaves, I think the writing's on the wall that he's not a guy that's going to stay anywhere very long. So, but he certainly did a good job, and he's reinventing himself, which I think in some programs, what he's become is going to be someone that they're going to chase. I think the bigger schools are sitting back waiting to see if he's going to be consistent, if he's going to act like a grown up, and if he's going to, and then I think he's going to get a chance if he continues down this road, because he certainly is a good coach. There's no question about it. X and O's and a play caller. I think he's really a good play caller, maybe a genius. But, just his antics, I think, have held him back. But I think if he reinvents himself and demonstrates a maturity, that he is going to end up surfacing somewhere else in a big program.
Coach, thank you very much for the time, and happy holidays to you and your family. We appreciate you coming on the show every week.
Absolutely, guys. Have a great holiday. Thank you very much.
You do the same thing. That is Coach Gary Barnett with some great college football talk. We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.